Book of Esther, and we'll be there reading quite a bit tonight. So feel free to stay there. Just need to comment on the music ministry. Pastor Mitchell said that some of you have been in this church all your life, and all you've ever heard is that kind of music. Well, I've been to quite a number of churches in my lifetime, and I've never heard music like this anywhere else. It's just a privilege to sit here and just to be ministered to by the I'm going to get teary now, by the people who just do that for us every week. It's a blessing, and we're really privileged. Tonight I'd like to speak to you on the topic. It's called What a Difference a Day Makes, but that's only part of the topic. It could be or changed in a moment of time, or it could be decision determines destiny. So somewhere in there is the title for today. We're going to just spend some time looking at the background of the time of Queen Esther, and then we'll move in and have a look at some other things that come up there. The nation of Judea was taken prisoner and taken to Babylon under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. I'm amazed that they can get it down to an exact year, but that seems to be the accepted year, 586 years before Christ was born. The Persian Empire takes over Babylon 37 years later in 539 BC under Cyrus. Sometime after this, Darius, which was prophesied years earlier, allows the Jews to return to Jerusalem under the direction of Zerubbabel. The second stage of the return occurs next under Ezra, followed by the third part of the return under Nehemiah. Hence, Ezra and Nehemiah are the chapters, the books around this one. Now we go back to Esther's time. King, now if I pronounce this wrong, please forgive me. I've got it down as Ahasuerus, the son of Darius, the father of Artaxerxes. Okay, that's the king that Ezra wrote to in Ezra 4:7. Also note that the next major empire was the Medes, after the Medes and Persians, was that of Alexander the Great in 336 BC, or 203 years later. So that's the time frame that we're dealing with. So let's start the reading. And we're going to start reading in Esther 5, verses 1 to 5. Remember, the topic is what a difference a day makes. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the sceptre. Then said the king unto her, "What will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? And it shall be given thee to half of the kingdom." And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Now, move down to verse 9. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up, nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife, and Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and the servants of the king. Haman said moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as Mordecai the Jew sitteth in the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Fairly quickly, by the way. And then we move over to Esther 6, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. This is just to get the background, so we know what's going on. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles that were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on the king. And the king said, what honour and dignity hath been done for Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honour? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honour more than to myself? Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honour, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honour, and bring him on horseback throughout the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honour. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honour. What was the message title? What difference a day makes? I think you can see where I'm going. So Esther goes to the king to plead for her people. If you don't know the full story of Esther, take time to read it when you go home or tomorrow or something. because I'm sort of assuming that most people will understand where I am. She was Jewish, but nobody knew that. And in verses 2 and 3 we see, and it was so that when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. And the king held out the scepter, the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou? What do you want, Queen Esther? What is thy request?" And then he said, "And it shall be given thee to half the kingdom." So the king and Haman are invited to a feast. Esther is preparing the king and preparing Haman for her request. And the king is okay with this, and he gives the order. Yes, let it be done. And in verse 9, we find Haman is very happy. He is really happy. He's the second officer in the kingdom. That's the position that Joseph had in Egypt. He's the second officer in the kingdom. Now he's invited to a private function with the king and queen, and only him. Haman is very happy. But then I've got written alongside of that, what a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. And then in verses 10 to 14, we read again, "Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called his friends and Suresh his wife, and Haman told them of the glory of his riches." How rich he was. How rich he was. "And the multitude of his children." He must have had a lot of children. "And all the things wherein the king had promoted him." He was having a really top back-slapping time. I mean, he was number two in the kingdom. That's pretty high up. And this was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. This was Babylon. This was the Medes and Persians. This was a big kingdom. And how he had advanced him over the princes and the servants of the king. Haman said, "Moreover, Queen Esther did let no other man come with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. So I have been invited to spend time with the king and queen alone." But he says, "But this is nothing when I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. I am really, really angry. He will not bow down and worship me. He will not proclaim me as being almost a god." Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends, "Let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai might be hanged thereon." Now he couldn't do it. He, number two in the kingdom, he couldn't hang Mordecai, but the king could. King had all power. "Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet." And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made 25 metres high. That's really some structure. So he said, "Tomorrow I will go to the king and I will get permission to kill Mordecai. I've built a gallows 25 metres high to hang him on." But tomorrow, Haman is dead. Tomorrow, Haman is dead. What a difference a day makes. Let's go back and find out what happened to cause all of this. Now, back in Esther chapter 3 and verse 6, we find, "And he sought scorn, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shown him the people," "that they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So Mordecai refuses to bow down to Haman, so Haman decides to use his position to kill all of the Jews. And therefore, he was going to get Mordecai. When Haman made that decision, he determined his own future. He condemned himself in the presence of God. You can't wipe out God's chosen people. You can't exterminate the Jews and expect to get away with it. Many have tried, and won't go into detail on that. Many, many have tried, but all have failed. Everyone that decided to destroy God's chosen people have themselves been destroyed. And we know today the Jews are still alive. It was 1948, I believe, that they were proclaimed a nation. Now, for those of you who were alive then, and I was, just one when that happened. But this was considered a miracle of miracles, that Israel was pronounced to own their own nation. And I won't go into detail, but many nations decided at that point of time to wipe them out and declare them null and void. But they're still here today. They're still around today. And they'll be around until God says they don't need to be anymore. So let's go back to chapter 6. How does Haman go from second in the kingdom to deceased in less than one day? What a difference a day makes. So let's go back to chapter 6 and verse 1. That night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on the king. So the king can't sleep. Why can't the king sleep? Why didn't the king take a sleeping tablet and just drift off? He's king. Why couldn't he sleep? Because God's involved. God has a plan, and God is going to make a huge difference. Now, he has somebody read from the history scrolls. Now, what would we do? We would turn on the TV, we'd put on a DVD or a VCR, we'd get an iPod, we'd get a radio, but those things weren't invented. I can remember time before any of those were invented, except for radio. I can remember listening to the radio as a child, and then television came along, and at 6 o'clock I had to decide whether I'd watch the news or listen to Superman on the radio. That was a big decision, and I think the television won. He reads the above. So he's having someone read to him at night. And they read how Mordecai saved his life, but was never rewarded. So the king decides to honour Mordecai, unbeknownst to the fact that Haman wants to kill him. So the king says, "Who's around? Who can help me with this?" And someone said, "Haman's just outside." Why was he there? Why was Haman there? And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Isn't this what a difference a day makes? Oops, very poor timing. Changed in a moment of time. So the king seeks advice from Haman. And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honour, Let the royal apparel, let the horse that the king rides on, Let somebody who's really important in the kingdom take the horse and lead this person through the town. Let the person say, this is what will happen if you delight in, or if the king delights in you. And the king says to Haman, go and do that to Mordecai, the one that sits at the king's gate. He says, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. That must have been devastating. That must have really been, he must have really had a sinking feeling at that point of time. Now the king and Haman go to the party that Esther had prepared. Then the king finds out that Haman wants to kill the queen. Oops. Because she was also a Jew. But that wasn't published. It wasn't known. So the king gets angry and Haman is hanged there on his own gallows. What a difference a day makes. Changed in a moment of time. Decision determines destiny. Well, what about us? Can a day make a difference in our lives? Just think about Adam and Eve. One moment of time, they're in fellowship with God, and just another moment of time, they're sinners. They're going to live forever. Then they're not going to live forever. Their lives were changed. God said that they would not now live forever. They were changed in a moment of time. And of course, we too have sinned, and we cannot live forever. None of us has a mortgage on tomorrow. Now, I hope you understand what that means. I wrote this down and I thought, I wonder if everyone understands that none of us have a mortgage on tomorrow. If you don't understand that, Pastor Mitchell will explain it to you later. Don't ask me. No. So what are some examples? What are some things that could change our lives in almost an instant of time forever? A distraction behind the wheel of the car leading to an accident. Now, many people like to use their mobile phone while they're driving. I was allowed to use my mobile phone in New South Wales for probably about 10 years. And I would hold it to my ear and I never had any trouble. I could drive for hours and talk on the phone. But of course, people want to text now, and then you drop your phone and you have to pick it up. I remember driving and a tarantelope spider walked across the windscreen. And we're thinking inside or outside. And it was inside. And then it dropped. Then it dropped. We had one with Linda when Linda was visiting a year ago. And we're driving in the car and the tarantelope spider's walking across. Was it the roof? At the back? The back seat. And we never found that one. Have no idea where it went, but we couldn't drive that car to church. We had to go back and get the bus and drive down in the bus because we weren't coming with that spider. A bee can come in and sting you while you're driving. Lots of those things can happen, but just in an instant of time, you have an accident. Somebody's hurt, somebody's injured. Somebody says, let's go rob somebody. Let's go and rob somebody. Now, no one in this church would do this, but this is happening every day in every state out there. And then a knife is produced or a gun or somebody's hurt and somebody spends a long time in jail. Lives destroyed, changed in an instant of time. You decide you want to experiment with drugs. Now, of course, nobody in here would do that. But there are millions of people who are doing that. You decide to experiment with drugs. Change. Now, that might take a little bit longer. A dare that goes wrong. A dare that goes wrong. Some other thing that isn't God-honoring. Something that we do that isn't God-honoring, and it changes us in an instant of time. Haman thought that he was being cool, making a name for himself, but he forgot God. And as Christians, we cannot fool around with God. It's too important. He's too important. And he is in control. So what decision can we make tonight that will change us tonight? Now, if you're a saved person here tonight, and I trust that everyone in the room is saved, just enjoy your salvation while I speak to those who know that they are not saved, if there is any, or anyone that's not quite sure of their salvation. What can we do tonight that would change our lives for eternity? We could accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. I did that when I was 20 years of age. So what does that work out at? 20 years of age? 49 years ago? 49 years ago I did that. I could reject the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And how many millions and millions of people have done that over time and are now finding themselves in a place that we call hell, tormented forever? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages, the reward, the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God, God has a gift that he wants to give to everybody. God has a gift that he wants everyone that's ever been created to have. That is life eternal or eternal life. But how many people will reject that offer? And John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Of a truth, Jesus said, He that hears my word and believes in their heart can have or hath everlasting life. Life that lasts forever. Now, if somebody lives to be 100, we say, well, that's a good innings. Someone lives to be 90, we say, well, they've done well. Someone lives to 80, we say, well, they've done all right. What does living forever mean? What does everlasting life mean? What does it mean that we will never die compared to living eternity, living forever in the place that is called hell? It says that we'll not come into condemnation. It says that we will not have to stand before a judgment seat and be condemned for rejecting the Saviour of the world. We won't have to do that. We will be required to give an account of our lives, but we won't be standing there thinking, is it death or is it life? In that case, it will always be eternal death. And it says there, but is passed from death to life. having a death sentence upon you to having a life sentence on you. How long does it take to be saved? How long does it take? A moment of time. Just a moment of time. But we're changed forever. Change. It cannot be reversed. Once you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation. Now, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." And the context of this verse is Jesus is outside the church. He's not inside the church. He's inside this church, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But he's outside of the church. And I'm sure that there are a lot of churches in Bendigo today where services are being held and Jesus is not in the church. But people are in the church, and therefore this verse can apply to the people that are in the church. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking." Says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door." The door opener is on the inside. Jesus can't grab hold of the door and come into your life. You have to invite him in. You have to ask him in. We have control of the doorknob. But we can be saved in a moment of time. So let's review. Queen Esther was placed in the palace for a specific reason. That decision determined hers and her nation's destiny. Again, you can read all about that in the book of Esther. She was placed in the palace for a specific reason. And that decision determined hers and her nation's destiny. Haman made a decision to destroy God's people. That decision determined his and his family's destiny. Haman made a decision to destroy God's people. He used his position of authority, we would say wrongly. And that decision determined his own life and his family's life. Again, you can read about that in the book of Esther. Mordecai made a decision to remain faithful to God and to refuse to bow down to Haman. That decision determined his, and I put his family's, that would be Esther, their destiny. He refused to bow down and to worship Haman, but be faithful to his God, and that decision determined his destiny and his family's destiny. We can reject the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the sacrifice for our sins, and pay the penalty in hell. That decision will determine your destiny. We can accept the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the sacrifice for our sins, and receive the reward and spend eternity with God in heaven. You can accept the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the sacrifice for our sins, because someone had to die for our sins, and receive the reward, that is, the reward of eternal life, and spend eternity with God in heaven. And that decision will determine your destiny. If you hear and believe and open the door of your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, what a difference that day will make in your life. If you've already made that decision, if you can put a moment of time and say, I wasn't saved on this day, but I was saved on this day, then you are looking forward to spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and God in heaven forever. One small moment in time, one large eternity to look forward to. My question is, what's stopping you tonight? Come and do business with God tonight. If you want to talk to anyone about knowing that you're saved, about being saved, about what we call an assurance of your salvation, you feel free to speak to the person that invited you. Speak to Pastor Mitchell. Speak to somebody if the Spirit of God is working in your heart tonight. Make the decision that will determine your destiny for a lifetime. And if you've made that decision, just thank God. Thank God that you're saved and that you won't be spending eternity in hell. Let's sing our